How did you come into social work then, Dame Geraldine?
I came in very much by the back door. I had no intention of being a social worker. My aspiration early on was to be a director of education, because I thought education was the most important element in our provision of services. But I was given an opportunity to discuss this with the then head of the Ministry of Education,
yes,
in about 1923 or 4,
yes,
and he said that there wouldn't be a hope of getting work of that kind when men coming out of the services were still looking for jobs that they would feel they could fill. He also said, would he be right in thinking that I believed an interest in education was an essential element in being a director? And when I agreed, he said, well, I think I must point out to you that people who become directors of education, generally speaking, want to administer something, not necessarily education.
Yes.
And then he very kindly gave me an introduction to the new education officer for the LCC, yes, afterwards Sir George Gaiter. He thought that Sir George, that Mr. Gaiter,
yes,
might have something to suggest in connection with his, with the London's Education Department School Care Committee service, which in fact turned out to be the case.
Yes.
Now the head of that service, Miss Theodora Morton, was a redoubtable character with a determination to have high standards of professional equipment on the part of her staff, insofar as that was humanly possible.
Yes.
And although I had certain ingredients of what was required, I had not taken the then requisite course, namely social science certificate, at the London School of Economics.
Yes.
So Miss Morton took a very poor view of the suggestion that I might be accepted on the staff.
Yes.
And had it not been that Mr. Gaiter was her new chief,
yes,
and that she clearly didn't wish to cross swords with him at the very beginning of her her professional relationship,
yes,
I don't doubt that I should have been thrown out.
Yes.
However, Mr. Gaiter won,
yes,
and I became an organizer of school care committees. I may say that I had, in the preceding year, taken a good deal of trouble to inform myself about a good many aspects of the social services.
Yes.
I'd spent a day or two a week in a settlement.
Yes.
I had visited youth employment, I don't think they were called that, Ministry of Labour centres, offices. I had taught some boys part-time in a trade school. And, of course, I had read quite a lot in the course of my economics degree on the subject of social services, though I may say in that date the University of Cambridge was anxious, I thought, that none of their students should really get near to the substance,
yes,
the human beings for whom these services are in fact created. But when I started in my first care committee office, I must say that I had only the most hazy ideas yes. as to what would be involved. And this was all too apparent to my district organizer, who decided that for the first at least 6 months of my career, half of my time should be devoted to a sort of in-service training. Yes. This, I'm sure, was more rigorous than anything I would have yes. got at that time yes. in any place of learning. So although technically I was not properly equipped, in fact, I never felt a real draft as far as my own readiness to do this kind of work was concerned. And one must remember that the social science certificate of those days was a fairly primitive introduction yes. to social work yes. and would not now be thought of as a very impressive basis for yes. professional work.
Yes. Can I just ask you something about that early time? A lot of the other people I've spoken to have, when talking about their first coming into social work, have talked about the sort of things that brought them in, the why, really. And I've been impressed by the wide range of reasons. And one of the things that has impressed me about, I suppose, the people of your generation that I've spoken to is the way they've all mentioned the consequences of the First World War, and some have talked almost in testament of youth type terms about that time. They've also talked about the position of women at that time and the difficulty for women in finding independent professional occupation, where they, an occupation which they could be independent and be able to make decisions, and I wonder whether any of that figured in your situation at that time.
No, I don't think so. I've told you how I arrived on the doorstep of yes. the London County Council, yes. but perhaps it is very relevant to say that all my young life yes. I had lived in a family situation where there were assumptions about, my father had worked with Canon Barnett at Toynbee Hall for many years. He had written parts of the great Charles Booth survey, Life and Life and Labour. He had been interested in. He had been a member of the committee for the Hampstead Council of Social Service, where we lived. Yes. And he was, for me, a paragon.
Yes.
And I think that, and incidentally, my maternal grandmother was one of the few women elected to the old London School Board. She was deeply interested in everything to do with education and services for people who need them.
Yes.
So that really I didn't have to make any great transition from my ideas about education to joining in the social work field. And I don't think the fact that there were troubles after the war or anything of that kind really came into it particularly.
Yes, thank you. Can I ask you one other thing then about the care committee training you just mentioned? I wonder if you could say something about which district you worked in and
yeah.
what sort of training your organiser.
Well, I worked in Islington.
Yes.
And my training involved a certain amount of actual visiting with advice on how to go about it, etc. Mm-hmm. But you learn most from the clients
yes.
in these situations.
Yes.
It also involved 2 days a week in a branch of the old Charity Organization Society where I saw how volunteers and staff combined to look into the needs of people. I may say that then, and a few years later, I conceived a very great mistrust of the COS procedures of those days.
Yes.
And I used to say that for me, the COS branches divided into two categories. Those that did an enormous amount of study, cross-questioning of clients, and so on, are with the result that they proved to be, what was the word? You were not worthy, what was it?
Deserving.
Yes. You proved to be undeserving.
Yes.
Or the branch that would go through all these procedures with a view to discovering how they could help and then helping.
Yes.
But I thought the system was open to great abuse. So when the leopard changed its spots and became a family welfare association,
yes,
I for one thought this was definitely a sign of progress.
Yes.
I think the other thing, of course, that was in the offing, so to speak, was a comprehension of what was meant by casework.
Yes.
Now, this was a very new concept, recently imported from America,
yes,
on which the head of the school care committee service was extremely enthusiastic. On the second day of my work in the care committee office, a fellow staff member said to me, "Are you keen on casework?" And I said, "What is it, ought I to be?"
Yes.
Which shows the stage of development from which I started.
Yes.
It was during those early years that I went on more than one occasion to the weekend conferences that were set up by what were then the three significant social work bodies.
Yes.
Somebody else told you about these,
no,
have they?
No.
Well, the three significant bodies at that time were the COS,
yes,
the LCC School Care Committee organization, and the hospital almoners.
Yes.
And they planned weekend conferences at High Lee, to which speakers were invited and where representatives of these organizations were able to discuss what one of the care committee district organizers invariably referred to as, "Whither are we tending?"
Yes.
Well, whither were we tending? We had a very interesting weekend on casework, addressed by, I think it may have been chaired by Mr. Pringle of the COS, but we had a speaker from the United States who talked to us about those very important early casework studies. I can't remember their name now.
The studies?
Well, books on casework.
Mary Richmond, that, Social Diagnosis.
Yes, that's it, Mary Richmond.
What is social casework?
That's it, that's it. Well, anyhow, this was the fodder.
Yes, yes. These were all part of your in-service training?
Well, by then I was supposed to be fledged by the time I was allowed to go to a conference.
Yes.
But I was very accepting of the significance of this development and, went along with it completely.
So, you eventually became an organizer yourself, didn't you?
District organizer?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I did, yes, after a few years, 4 years.
Yes.
And I then had charge of the Woolwich, Greenwich and Lewisham area.
Gosh, yes.
Until 1938.
Yes. That's when you went to the Ministry of Health, 38, was it?
No, I went to the Ministry of Health very much later. In 1938, as you may remember,
yes,
we had the alarm,
yes,
of Munich,
yes,
and the remission of the date of war,
yes,
which of course we always hoped wouldn't happen. In 1938, the Home Office was the government department responsible for evacuation and all wartime provision of this sort. And about a week before Mr. Chamberlain went to Munich, a fairly large bevy of people who were supposed to be able to talk to local authorities about what they ought to do in terms of provision for the emergency,
yes,
were loosed on the country.
Yes.
And I was one of these people, and I went to two areas in the south of England, with singularly little brief,
yes,
to warm up the local authorities responsible and discuss with them, amongst other things, how they would staff whatever was to be done in the way of services, and above all, to identify large houses, etc., that could be used for the accommodation,
yes,
of people evacuated from the big cities. Well, it's perhaps a good thing for the country that at that point the exercise was called off, because though I could expand easily on the extraordinary situation one found, the fact remains that by and large no one was in the least prepared.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as that point was over, the government decided that the responsibility for the wartime social services should be transferred to the Ministry of Health, which was also the housing department,
yes,
because billeting would be one of the most important things, and billeting and housing travelled,
yes,
together. Yes.
I'm lost as to who you were employed by.
Oh, I'm still employed by the LCC.
And
just borrowed.
Who borrowed you when you did that 1938
song? Well, I suppose that we were borrowed by the Home Office. I don't really know.
I see.
I mean, it must have been the Home Office.
Were all the district care organisers used in that way?
No, just certain people. Certain people.
Yes. Do you know how you were selected? Or
no, I have no idea.
I mean, presumably they must have thought you were the sort of people who could get the thing across.
Well, I expect that, you know, we were many and various.
Yes.
And some people, no doubt, showed greater organizing ability than others. Mm. Some might have been essentially steeped in social work, as you might,
yes,
say.
Yes.
And some not, less so. It's always interested me that for many, many years, this idea has now died out, but for many years it seemed to be thought that if you had any administrative ability, you couldn't possibly be a good social worker. Mm-hmm. It was either or.
Yes.
It didn't. It ought not to travel together.
Yes.
And it was really rather irritating sometimes that people would make assumptions of this sort.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Yes. Can I ask you a bit more about the evacuation planning?
Mm-hmm.
Were you given a brief to work from? What exactly were you...
What, in 1938,
yes,
you mean?
Yes, were you to just tell them...
Well, I don't remember what we were given, but what we were given was of the slenderest. It was would you go to X and Y,
yeah,
see the town clerk or the whoever it was, the chief, yes, administrator,
yes,
and talk with him about the preparations,
yes,
which would involve evacuation,
yes,
of individuals and of groups.
Yes. Yes.
But the planning otherwise, I should say, was virtually nil.
Yes. It was really just a way of, an official way of dropping the notion into somebody,
yeah,
else's
head. Yeah, that's right.
Head.
And seeing that they did something.
Yes.
I well remember that one of the clerks I saw, the first one in fact, who was a solicitor,
yes,
as was often the case, of course, and I went to see him on a Friday. And of course, speed was of the essence at that time.
Mm.
And quite early in the conversation, he said, "Now let me make it quite clear to you, young lady, that I'm a gardener, and on Saturday afternoon I dig and nothing else." Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
That was scrapped, that 1938.
Yes.
And then,
well, it was irrelevant.
Yes, irrelevant. Mm. And then the Ministry of Health
took over. Took over.
And
yes.
And you were still with the Care Committee?
I was, well, I had been with the Care Committee up to September,
yes,
1938. But at that point, the London County Council Education Department was made responsible, nothing to do with the Care Committees,
yes,
made responsible for planning the evacuation from London,
yes,
which was a massive exercise.
Yes.
And I was then transferred to the education department as such at County Hall to take charge of the element in the planning that involved the staffing of all the evacuation parties.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I had my first direct experience of very large plans to use volunteers,
yes,
in case of need. I can imagine no more trying post than the one I held, because firstly you had to get people to commit themselves to doing something very important on an unknown date.
Yes.
Secondly, you hoped the date would never come.
Yes.
But thirdly, if it did come, the importance of those people really doing what they said they would do was terrific.
Yes.
And so you had forever to keep a machine turning, a recruitment process going on,
yes,
an interviewing business going on. And
were they the billeting officers that you were recruiting and...
No, this is from London. This is nothing to do with the reception area at this point.
But when I was evacuated, I know the billeting officer went with us on the train, I remember, and took us around the billets. Was
from London?
Was my mother.
Do you mean from London?
Yes, from Hampstead, yes.
Yes, well, but that was a work of supererogation.
I see.
There was no, it was an excellent idea,
yes,
of course, wonderful, but that was not normally done.
Yeah,
what normally, this was exclusively a plan to get people out of London,
yes,
nothing to do with the reception area at that point. It was solely,
yes,
to get mothers and children parties, school children parties, expectant mother parties, and so on,
yes,
out of London with escorts.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Yes.
And of course, the other parts of the education department had all this business of, you know, planning the trains and
yes,
so on and so on.
Yes.
We had to be a little imaginative about what the volunteers might need. I remember well that one of the things we suggested every volunteer should take with him or her,
yes,
was a copy of the Times,
yes,
because the Times was the thickest paper,
yes,
you could find, very reliable, and many of the railway carriages used for evacuees had,
yes,
no corridors or other facilities,
yes,
and the Times,
yes,
was an essential element of,
yes,
your equipment. Yes. Well, then, of course, war came and the scheme worked, and we, as we know now, the people went out and then there wasn't a proper war and lots of them came back and so on. But the next stage was when the impact of the evacuees on the reception areas was such that the local authorities receiving them were confronted with a host of problems that they'd never thought about before, were quite unready to deal with. And they were submerged with problems. Also, there were two features that were distressing. One was that nobody had realized how strange, how extremely liable to head lice, etc., many of the children were, so that dirt was brought into hitherto allegedly cleanly areas. And secondly, that people hadn't appreciated in the reception areas what the movement of children from their families into an unknown environment would do to their behavior and their reactions. So that from every point of view, the local authorities were stuck. Now, the Ministry of Health, which of course had many things to think about, had not envisaged any of these problems. The LCC was not responsible in any sense for what was done by local authorities in the reception area. But since it was the LCC, and I'm only talking about the evacuation from London, of course, comparable things happened from other big population centres. The LCC had no responsibility for the problems the other end, but naturally, the local authorities wrote to the LCC because they'd exported their problems. So for quite a time, all kinds of correspondence reached the LCC on the subject of problems in the reception areas. And at that point, much of this correspondence and many of the problems were remitted to my bit of the works, because it was the obvious place, that they thought, for the reception of these this kind of complaints, problems. And after a time, the Ministry of Health asked if we could release four care committee organizers to help in the most stricken reception areas, help the local authorities to wrestle. And we found four stalwart women who went out and did an excellent job. Now, at some point, the government set up a very small, not exactly commission, group of people anyway, I can't remember who was in charge of it, to visit the reception areas and see what was going on. And they came up with a recommendation that the kind of support that had been provided in these four areas should be provided to all reception areas for all over the country, and more than one person per reception area, where the numbers justified, with the result that the Ministry of Health decided to appoint 30 people, and I was asked to serve as an advisor on the appointments. So for the first time I crossed the Thames to put my oar in on the Ministry of Health side. By and large, we didn't do too badly. I made two mistakes, but two out of 30 is not too ghastly. And one subsequently left quite soon, so that was a good thing, and the other one we had to endure the rest of the war, but she wasn't fatal.
Can I just ask for get it clear? Are we talking about now the welfare officers who were appointed to deal with the hostels and so on, where the difficult evacuated children were. The sort of job that Claire Winnicott did.
No.
No, this is another group of...
No, these are people who really became the prototypes of the regional social work staff that went on after the war.
Yes.
But they had regions.
Yes.
Wales, for example, had four people.
Yes.
I forget the numbers now, but they varied from two to four over the country. No, they were to be available to local authorities as such, to help them wrestle with what they were meeting. And of course, this was an immensely difficult task for these officers, not to mention the local authorities, but they made a very good stab at it.
Yes. Can I just ask you one more thing? Did you realise yourself, when, say, right, going back again to 1938, what sort of problems the local authorities in the reception areas would encounter once London started exporting all these? I mean, having seen the children as from the care committee angle in the first place.
I don't think I've devoted a great deal of thought to it. I think I was vaguely conscious of the welter of problems that would come up. But of course, when you're trying to get a framework of staff, volunteers mainly, established, it is in itself such a big job that you really have to concentrate on that at the time.
Yes.
As soon as they were out, of course, one could bend one's mind to what it all meant.
Yes.
But I don't think that and if I had, I don't know what I could have done about it.
It was really the immediate job.
No, and especially, as you see, you were always doing it against the background of, this may never happen.
Yes.
Which is a most defeating situation for any worker.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so these people went out and tried to help the authorities. And of course, one of the things that they felt the authorities desperately needed were some people with some knowledge of social work to help them with these issues. But social workers in those days were few and far between in any service.
Yes.
And therefore, it really meant borrowing people from the few organizations and from London that had some ideas of what was inherent in this kind of situation. And local authorities, by and large, had never heard of social workers.
Yes.
And so selling the idea was not all that easy. Of course, there were very important voluntary counterparts, and one must not overlook the role of a body like Women's WVS in those times.
Mm.
Although sometimes WVS was maddeningly oblivious of the contribution of professional social workers, at the same time they did do, in some of the areas, a very excellent job, and so one must be fair on that.
Are you able to... do you have any reminiscences of the problem you just mentioned of having tried to persuade the Ministry of Health of the need for social workers? I mean, was it you that persuaded them that they should have social workers? When you said just now,
at the beginning, those first four, you mean?
You said they'd never heard of them, and it was very difficult for them to sort of take on board that they were needed.
Well, I suppose so. Certainly I was asked to go and talk with the Deputy Secretary there, and was asked, in fact, could we produce these people?
Yes.
And I said I thought we could.
Yes.
Yes, that, to that extent.
I mean, what were the problems in having, I mean, why?
Well, the enormous embarrassment, after all, it was the local government department.
Yes.
The enormous embarrassment of having at least half the local authorities in the country submerged with problems they didn't know how to tackle.
No.
And the department didn't either.
No.
So, so that was that. Well, now, the time ground on, and we had these 30 people, or rather the Ministry of Health had these 30 people in the field, with nobody in charge of them at headquarters. And from my vantage point, the wrong side of the Thames,
yes,
I thought that those workers really needed to meet and discuss their problems and see what they were all trying to do and learn from one another.
Yes.
So I laid on a conference to which they all came and which they found extremely useful, and it was held, of course, in the LCC building. No doubt this came to the ears of the Ministry of Health, who must have reflected that this was the sort of thing they should have laid on, not the LCC.
Yeah.
And so this led to the Ministry of Health deciding that it ought to have somebody in their department to head up this service and to take this kind of action and other action.
Yeah.
And I was asked if I would cross the water and be what they called the Chief Welfare Officer.
Yeah.
And the LCC agreed that I should go, and I was seconded, you see. And I well remember an interview very early on. Well, that must have been when we were getting the 30 appointed, that's right. The Deputy Secretary said, as all administrators do, what will this cost us?
Yeah.
And when we told him the salaries paid to the district and other organizers, he said, oh, well, that's, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
And I've often thought how important and how sad it was that we had to have the wrong answer then about the salaries you have to pay to people who are, to some extent, equipped to do a professional job.
Yes.
Because for all the years that followed, it was a struggle to get the Ministry of Health, in fact one never did succeed, in recognizing that for professional people they ought to pay a proper professional salary.
Yes.
And if I may jump a few years, it's one of the reasons why it was so difficult to make a proper relationship between the social workers in the Home Office and the social workers in the Ministry of Health, because the Ministry of Health was always obscurantist about this business of salaries, whilst the Home Office, which had virtually no standards about the professional equipment of the people they appointed later for the Children's Department, but it had got a point of view about their resembling the inspectorate in the Ministry of Education, because they had appointed a person as their chief of the childcare service who was out of the education stable.
Yeah.
And so, for reasons that had nothing to do with the qualifications really, the Home Office always paid higher salaries, and this made it very difficult to get those staffs really to cooperate comfortably. And it was only, as you know, relatively recently, that when they're all stuck together, that at last the equation was established. But this was one of the things that one had to contend with, and I think I'm a much more experienced person now than I was then. And I think I didn't know how to play the cards, because we had a very charming, neurotic, and ineffectual director of establishments. And it was through him that everything was handled.
Yes.
And of course, now I know that I should have gone to the permanent secretary or to the minister or somebody.
Yes.
Well, there it is.
Yes. So we've got to
where I was appointed to the Ministry of Health.
Yes.
Well, then I think the real importance of that period till the end of the war was firstly that our regional staff did everything that they found to be humanly possible to get local authorities to appreciate the role of the social worker and to appoint them if they could and would.
Yes.
They were in very short supply.
Yes.
They had also to explain the difference between the well-intentioned worker without qualifications
yes.
and the person who had some qualifications. And this in itself was a difficulty. And for some years, we used to keep, in my section, in the Ministry of Health, we used to keep a file in which we recorded any appointments to a local authority of a social worker, which just shows the stage we started from.
Yes.
It was distinguished between a social worker, and they didn't specify whether it should be qualified, and a qualified social worker. We had two columns in that register, and the figures very, very slow to mount up.
Yes.
But that was what we tried to do. The other thing that I think was very important was that because we had some very good social workers, and because we were able to get a small number of really well-qualified people to work in the field, like Claire Winnicott and Robina Addis, who did first-class pioneering jobs in a rather small setting, able to introduce ideas about the care of children, especially children who were showing behavior problems, and get them tackled in ways that were new.
Yeah.
We were obliged, though we didn't want to set up hostels, which were known as hostels for difficult children.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the war, a very interesting publication was produced by the Ministry of Health, which summarized the experience we had gained in that field and the changing attitudes to children in trouble that our experience had engendered. This was written by Gwyneth Wansborough-Jones, who became my deputy at the Ministry of Health, and was a very useful precursor for many of the ideas that were developed afterwards by and after the Curtis Committee.
Yes. Can I ask you, I'm very interested in the personal impact you were making during this time, because I guess, I mean, if you were the Chief Welfare Officer, you were presumably producing papers for the appropriate people with decision-making responsibility, and I'm not clear, did you have decision-making responsibility of your own? I mean, you must have been shaping a lot of things that were happening, if only by saying yes you can do that, no you can't do that. Are there any stories you can tell me about that?
Well, from the beginning I had a regular staff conference to which all the regional staff came.
Yes.
And it started by being rather grand with the chief medical officer and an undersecretary and one or two other administrators attending. And if I remember rightly, I was not to start with in the chair. I may be wrong because I must have got into it very quickly, but I have a feeling that we had one or two rather stiff sort of meetings that that weren't exactly what I meant. But these were the occasions when the regional welfare officers could discuss the policies that we were pursuing with me, and incidentally had the comfort of knowing that there were others wrestling with these difficult issues, not only themselves, because although there were usually more than one person in a region, it was a rather lonely outpost job.
Yes.
And certainly the advice, insofar as they needed advice, that they had on the carrying out of their work came from me. But I wouldn't like to claim too much for that, because we were all learners together.
Yes, exactly. But did you find, it's quite a common experience, isn't it, that in a situation like that, the people who are implementing the policy, particularly when it's a new policy and something that you're having to feel your way with, are pushing at the boundaries all the time and trying to get the rules altered or changed or relaxed in some way? Did you find that was going on, that you were having to, in a sense, make the rules together as well? Because
I think one would say that during the war, the regional staff had very considerable freedom.
Yes.
There were things they couldn't do. They could not commit the department to expenditure without it being approved.
Yes.
But the people in the regions came from different fields and had different qualities and different experience. And really, they had very great freedom to develop what they thought they could develop in their areas.
Yes.
And as you probably realize, the further you get from London, the more large authorities and even regional staff feel that they know better than what the headquarters knows. And this is a perfectly healthy situation, provided it doesn't get out of hand.
Yes.
But I would say that they were wonderfully untrammeled as far as rules went.
Yes. Yes.
What they were trammeled about was lack of experience.
Yes.
And that, after all, everybody lacked.
Yes.
No, I think I don't think that. Another thing, you see, in wartime, it is more accepted that people in a central department react to the realities of a situation.
Yes.
In peacetime, you start having all sorts of anxieties about what line the department should be taking, what it should do, whether.